This is Stephen's Reel 3. We got to the point where you got off the Alcantara at Portside in January 1945.
And it was, we got off at night, and it was very dramatic. Can you imagine us girls? We had never been anywhere before. We were going to this foreign country, and there were all these natives in loincloths with their skin shining in the light from these flares. And they were singing a song. You know, when they work out there, they suit the rhythm to the work. And they as they do this, they sing, and then they do that. And it was so dramatic. I'll never forget it. Never.
And where were you going?
Well, there wasn't room for us to get off. I know we had to get off at this place and go across land. We were going to Cairo. Was it Cairo or Alex? We went to both, I know. But we went to Alexandria first. And we stayed in the Japanese embassy, which is all white marble. Oh, it was beautiful. And we got on the train to go across country. And all of a sudden, there's an uproar. We're all tired. There's an uproar. And a girl said, "That man's pinched my purse." In those foreign countries, they travel on top of the train. They lie down on top of the train. And when you've dozed off, they come in the windows and steal. And when she ran after him, he turned on her with a knife. And there's us girls, all with our heads stuck out the carriage, looking along the corridor, and this man's got a knife. And we're saying, Dot, come back, don't go near him. I've never forgot that. Never.
And that was on the train to
Alexandria. That was on the train. We hadn't been in the country 5 minutes, and this man was holding a knife on her.
And what happened when he got to Alexandria?
We were taken to this beautiful place, and it was very impressive. It was all marble, spiral staircase in white marble. And we stayed there, and they took us. They said, for a week, you'll have cultural visits. So they took us to a private hospital. And this surgeon, he was so mad. I mean, he kept opening drawers in this operating room, and there was babies in the drawers, fished out of the Nile. A lot of, they don't want girl babies, a lot of them, they just want sons, so if a baby's born, they chucked it in the Nile. We were horrified, absolutely. They thought that was cultural. They're strange people, you know, these Arabs. They turned round. I was at the back because I didn't want to look. So they turned us round and walked us through this door, and you wouldn't believe what was standing propped up. A corpse. He just had a post-mortem. Because all I could see was these big criss-cross stitches all the way down, and they were draining it. And I stopped, I screamed, every girl stopped, and she bumped into the one in front of her, and there was pandemonium. So somebody explained that's not the kind of things that well brought up English girls would like to see. They were just boasting about their private hospital. We went to a stocking factory where there were little girls of 8 and 9 working, and we couldn't believe it. 8 and 9 years old working in a stocking factory in Egypt. While I was out there, we visited the pyramids quite a bit. They used to fascinate me, those pyramids. I kept going back again and again. And
What was so interesting about them for you?
They were so old. And I've always liked history. And they just fascinated me. And I've always liked reading about King Tutankhamun and Nefertiti, Queen Nefertiti.
How close did you get? Did you climb them or go inside?
No, I wanted to climb them, but we had one of the American boys climbed and fell and killed himself. And I thought, that's ridiculous. So that, and I couldn't go inside because I'm a bit claustrophobic.
Now, when you'd done these cultural visits, what were this? Did they set you on working?
They set us on.
Where
sent at? Us to. We were at Port Said, I think, across the on the ferry. It's Moasca.
Moasca Camp.
Yes, and it's across from Port Said. You cross from Port Said over the ferry.
And you were. What were you doing there?
I was in charge.
You were as a canteen
yes.
sergeant?
Yes, and I had six natives and. I had six girls and 12 natives.
And tell me how what they all did.
They all worked around the canteen.
Doing what?
Washing up. The girls did the serving. They did the washing up and the cleaning.
The Egyptians did the cleaning.
Yes, and the washing up. You didn't get white girls working out in those countries.
And what was your job as canteen manager? Could you describe?
Do the ordering, do the books, balance the books. I had loads of different money coming in, and every night we used to take everything over the counter that they had. And I used to turn it back into piastres. There was 100 piastres in a pound, just like we've got 100 pennies in a pound. But I don't know what the value of the piastre was. I just know that it was there was 100 to the pound. And every country has different. So I had to do a sum of each amount and balance the books every night. And I wouldn't go to bed till they were balanced. It was no good going to bed and tackling them in the morning.
That's one job. What other jobs?
Make myself pleasant to the officers that visited. I used to think when they came in, oh, I say, would you like a beer or coffee? And I used to think, say coffee. Because I didn't get a lot of money. I only got £3 a week. And if they had beer, I had to pay for it out of my own money.
And what would these officers' inspections be like? What were they looking for?
Well, not just inspectors. They used to visit and talk and discuss entertainment and things like that, you know. They were a nuisance sometimes because I used to have a lot of work to do, you know, and I used to wish they would go, but you always had to be pleasant to officers.
Now, what other work? Because so far you've only told me about the balancing the books.
And ordering the... And helping to serve. When there was a rush of men in...
Tell me about the ordering, then.
Well, every day... We had a big block of ice. It used to cost 11 piastres. And we used to put it in this big, heavy wooden safe. The old storage, cold box. You see, it didn't have fridges. So we used to put this in this cold compartment. And it was leaded to keep the ice cold. And that we used it as a fridge. The heavy cupboard as a fridge. And I used to order two of those. That's right, two of those. It used to come to 22 pence. I remember that.
But what about
22 piastres.
What about ordering the supplies? That's ice. But what about all the other supplies?
All the others came. They came.
From where?
From all over. We used to have jam from South Africa. Tomato jam.
But,
just remember that.
But you wouldn't order something from South Africa.
No, it all came from the warehouse. We had a warehouse.
Tell me, that's what I mean. Tell me
yes.
where you were. That's what I meant by where.
I can't remember where the big warehouse
but
was.
How did you do it? How did you order something?
Right out of an order book and put the order in. When they came.
When who came?
Who was it that used to come? We had a district manager who used to visit us, and I think he must have... had something to do with it. Perhaps, I think he came. He came to inspect the books and to take the orders.
So you'd hand in a chip
yes,
for what you wanted?
Yes,
and
yes.
You'd help out on the counter?
Oh, yes.
What was a rush like? Tell me what it was.
Men waving their... Some of them had their own mugs, you know, and they'd be waving them. And just pandemonium, often. And I used to say, would you mind, quiet... form a queue, please. Queue. And, you know, remember, there was only six girls in how many miles? And it was a bit frightening because you had to be careful. If you went out with an American, and the British used to say, what are you doing going out with Americans when us lads are here? We fought the war for you, you know, and all this business.
Did you have to watch for what they call the moral welfare of the girls? In other words,
yes, making sure. Yes.
Tell me about that. What was the problem? Because it's so easy to get yourself.
It is. We did have to watch, and but remember, it was an army camp, and they had to be in at a certain time before the gate was closed. And one girl did expect a baby, and she was hustled onto the next ship home. And they said, when we had lectures, they said, remember, you are representing your country. Anything you do will be held against you, against the country. So please behave while you're here. And I don't believe this, but one of the sergeants said it cost £500 to get through the Suez Canal for each person. I thought, that's a lot of money. I don't think so. Would you think so?
Now, so what was a typical day like for you as a canteen manager, Aston?
Oh, get up, trip over the man in the courtyard with his mat, kneeling to Allah, and you had to... King Farouk said that 50% of their wages should be in food. So we, and the Muslims don't eat dead food. Everything had to be delivered alive. So you can imagine every morning there were squawking chickens being delivered on lorries in crates and all that. And I came out one morning and there was a chicken running around with its head off.
Now what about your day? That's what we're on about. You get up.
Get up. Have a shower or a bath. Very hot out there. You were always showering. Go over to the canteen. Make sure, if you hadn't balanced the books the night before, there was a few pence out, you'd be fresh in the morning and you'd find it and you'd finish that off, and then you would go out and see that... Oh, give them a float, £2 float. Was it £2 or £3? I think it was a £3 float in each of the bars. You replenished, you know, you gave out money when they wanted it. You checked on them. I had one girl, she swore blind she wasn't stealing, and yet the only way I could find out was I used to go and cash up several times. And I went out one morning and there wasn't even the £3 float in the box. And yet she denied she was taking anything. It was very difficult. I also...
I'll come back to the stealing because I want to ask about that. So you do that. What else would you do?
Supervise the natives, cleaning. But this was a must. Every day the larder was done out. Sometimes twice a day. It was called moya sukna, hot water. They'd get... the moya sukna, and it had to be boiling. And when you went in, the whole floor was moving. And it was with those flying beetles. So they used to throw the hot water on and kill them all with the scalding water and then sweep them out with a broom. And when you took the lid off the sugar, it was moving. And when you took the lid off the flour bin, that was moving with weevils. There was no bread baked without weevils in it. And when you went out, even to a restaurant, and you had bread, you used to pick it up and just pick out the weevils and then eat the bread. Because the weevils lived in the flour. And that was the most important part of the day. To go in the stores, and the lard, and have everything cleaned. You couldn't go without.
Any other important duties?
Talking to the men, receiving any visitors that came, but mostly I'd be helping. Because there was always a rush on in the morning.
Now, what about the question of stealing, either by the girls, the Egyptians, or by the men? Because the raids on canteens are not
unusual. Well, that was once, the only time that. But another time, I was down, and the district manager said to me, there's something going on here. And I said, yes, I know. I says, I'll go through the books again. He says, by the way, he says, I've just come from a canteen up the road. And he said, he knows he's stealing. I know he's stealing. And he said, he knows I know he's stealing. But he said, I can't find it. And they were so clever, those Arabs. So clever. But anyway, I checked all the books and I found the money was missing from the minerals being delivered. So I asked this...
Minerals?
Mineral waters. I checked it to there. And so I had this boy in the office. Well, I didn't have him in the office, he was in the kitchen, which was fortunate because he pulled a knife on me. And Abdul, the cook, says, Sawish, be careful, be careful. And I said, I can't let him go on stealing. So, stupid, you're very stupid when you're young. Do you remember being stupid? Because I was. And I said to him, go on, stick that knife in me. Now, do you think I would say that now? And that's what I said. I was so furious with him. But, and I'd grown fond of him, Sudani. He was a Sudanese boy, coal black. But I thought, and he was clean looking, you know, and I thought a lot of him, and he really let me down by stealing. And I knew there was no point in accusing him if you weren't certain, but I was dead certain.
What about the soldiers stealing, either, you know, from the stores or directly?
No, we didn't. I didn't have any of that.
No raids on the canteen?
No, nothing like that. And I was very proud because we were serving the desert rats. The men out there had all taken part in that campaign, so we were quite proud of them. They were proud of themselves. They used to say, do you know who you're serving? And I used to say, yes, and we're very proud of you.
Well, what did you think of the Egyptians overall? I mean, not just the ones who worked for you, but just the general Egyptians.
Well, I'll tell you. The natives were very, very childish. One of them, Mohammed, thought that every time he had a baby, we should give him a rise. But there's the different kind of Egyptians. There's the ones that are white, more white-skinned than you are. Very white-skinned. And they're the aristocrats. And they're really high class. As far removed from the natives as you can get. Absolutely. And I enjoy talking to them. There was a special restaurant in Port Said. And... I had a dog, so I had a... He was a... What's the...
His man. Mm-hmm.
A vet. He was a veterinary surgeon. And he used to sit and talk to me about animals. Because I always took Ruchi, took my dog, to him. Oh, we had dogs out there.
Tell me about the pet dogs.
Oh, yes, Ruchi. Oh, we had several... aristocratic boys working for us that used to work for pocket money. Their parents would give them anything but money because there were all kinds of people out there, continental, European. Now, this boy came from a very high-class Spanish family. His people were titled. And he said to me one day, Sawish, he said, I have a puppy. Would you like one? He said, it's the last one. And I said, well, bring it along and I'll look at it. And it was the most darling little thing. It was all pink fur. And it was Papillon. And I had it. And I called it Ruchi. Pink Ruchi. And she was such good company. And every time they were killing all the dogs in case of rabies, I used to hide her in the wardrobe. And I used to stand there shaking in case they looked in my wardrobe. They used to come round in inspections. And people used to help, though, they'd say. And sometimes the sergeant would know and he'd say, there's no... And he'd be wicked to me. There's no dog here. But she was such good company and protection. You know, we did have the rowdy, the Cosbys, kings on Scottish borders. They were a rambunctious lot.
You know which battalion?
I don't know, but I know that my door and window, my window, all the windows out there were glass on the outside. No, on the outside were bars. Inside that was glass, and inside that was fine net. Now, the net was protection against the insects, the bars was against the men, and the glass was to let the light in. And they used to, when they got drunk, they used to throw bottles and glasses at my door. Do you remember the night I said to my husband, who wasn't, was just an acquaintance then, I said, I don't know, why didn't you say something? Because he was visiting and all these bottles came crashing against the door. And they could have killed somebody, but they didn't care. I used to complain to the officers, but nothing was ever
just
done about
Cosbys.
It. Just the Cosbys. Kings on Scottish borders.
Did they cause any trouble in the canteen as well?
Yes, I suppose they did. There was quite a bit of, you know, when men are away from home, they don't act the same as they do in England, say. They're a bit wild. I won't say all of them, but a lot of them were very wild. I can't help saying it was the King's Own Scottish Borders, and I don't know why. Why it was then.
Now, you started in this in January 44. Do you remember much, any particular events you remember before, you know, or was it just a routine life, really? You were at Moasca throughout, were you?
No, I was moved all over Egypt. And
which
also,
other camps did you go to?
Fayed, F-A-Y-E-D, on the Bitter Lakes. And I was at Suez.
Port Suez?
Yes.
Just Port Suez camp?
Yes. And Moasca at Ismailia. Moasca garrison. Now, that's a very big, very big place for soldiers. It was there in the days of, right back.
Now, which of these camps did you prefer?
Which did I prefer? Well, I like 9BAD. We had a wonderful...
Which one was that?
It was the 9th British Ammunition Dump, BAD.
Where was that, though?
That was along the canal. And, no, it wasn't. It was inland. That's right, sorry. It was inland, 9BAD. And I know, because the men told me, they said all the officers were ready to leave them to their fate. But in case they had aeroplanes waiting to be flown off the site, they gave us a most marvellous 5th of November. I've never seen anything like it. All the ammunition, they used that phosphorus fountains. They had fountains of liquid fire all over the camp. And it went on and they made all the fireworks. And they were fantastic. That was a really wonderful occasion.
What about anything before VE Day? Or was it just routine, moving between camps?
Moving between camps.
Running what about VE Day? What do you remember of that?
It was my day off. And I went out and I came back and went to bed early. And someone woke me up and I said, what's the matter? What's the matter? Either the war's over. The war's over. And that was the 8th of May.
And how did... So, any 1940. Celebrations?
Any celebrations. The men went mad. They literally went mad. And it's the truth to say that when I walked out of my door the morning after, I tripped over the MO and he was lying where he'd fallen. I told him off. I said, suppose anybody had been seriously ill. He was lying there. There was men just lying where they'd fallen all over the camp, dead drunk. And there were the girls. We had to put the wooden shutters down. The men were fighting to get over the counter to the girls. I thought, my God. Because there was only us girls. There was 6 or 7 girls. And all these men, they just went mad. I just, you know, I just couldn't have, I thought, yes, all right, be happy, the war, I'm happy. But why go mad like that? But they all got dead drunk. It was a silent camp the next day. And they all...
But you girls didn't get drunk.
No, no.
And what after that, you were saying off tape about the VJ Den, you actually heard rumours about the atomic
bomb.
Yes.
They told us they were going to drop a bomb, that it would reverberate right round the earth. And I thought, my God, we were all nervous. And they say, you feel it when it drops here. The men were really awful for pulling your leg, you know. But that was to stop. The Japs were just mad. They were, what do you call it, when they would deliberately fly their plane. Harry Carey or something?
Kamikaze pilot, huh?
Kamikaze, that's right, kamikaze.
Were there any celebrations on VJ Day, like there had been on thing, or do you remember?
Not as such. I was very disappointed that I was abroad when it actually finished, because they had wonderful celebrations in this country. Wonderful.
Now, what about you? You carried out there. I mean, were
yes.
you wanting to get home?
Yes, but we couldn't go. We didn't get home till I got home the 4th of January, 1947. So, Bukola.
So how did you feel? I mean, did you think, you know, in August 1945 that you'd be going home soon? Or?
Yes, we did. But then I remembered we'd come out for 3 years. She said, you have to sign up for 3 years. And we called it our Cook's Tour.
And did morale hold up amongst your girls? You know, because
yes.
sometimes when you think you go, you know, you think yes. you're going home, they'd find
oh,
you
yes.
two more years.
They were going out with blokes and enjoying themselves. And
I believe, what about entertainment organised for your girls and yourself? What tell me about them.
Well, we went, I'll tell you about the best one we went to, was King Farouk's yacht. We were asked to go there. And it was wonderful. It was the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. This yacht. He finished with it. It was too old for him, so he went and bought a new one. So he sold it to the British Army. And they had it for a floating barracks. But it was wonderful. I mean, the quartz had been taken from the pyramids to line his bathroom. And gangways, the stairways down on the yacht, there were mummies. No statues of mummies? And palm trees, little palm trees. And oh, they were, it was really something you just read about. It was wonderful. And also he used to sell off his cars, his beautiful Rolls Royces. For taxis.